Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for March. We kind of skipped February. Apologies for that. We're officially into March now. We'll figure it out from there. But on
we
this month,
suck.
We do. It's fair. It's fair. But on this month's roundtable, we've got a good crew. So of course, I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Very good. Glad to be here.
We also have our boy Duff. What's up, Duff?
Aloha, guys.
We have Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you.
We have Josh.
Yeah, Josh.
Hey.
Jamie is going to cut you off before you got introduced. How you doing, Josh?
I'm doing great, thanks.
No problem. I just want to mention that you folks will notice that Duff's audio is a lot better during this roundtable. He finally figured out Skype.
Oh, man. Yeah, thank God I don't have to use my cell phone on the side of my desk while I'm trying to type and talk to you guys at the same time, wearing one ear microphone in, and I'm like, oh, shit, I can just put on a headset. That works.
Well, there you go. Well, your audio sounds great.
2002.
Well played. So our topic this week, we just decided a few minutes ago, it's going to be free-to-play games. So we got some interesting stuff to talk about that. Of course, something that's been near and dear to Jamie recently with Path of Exiles that we've talked about a lot. But also, lots of other free-to-play games out there, so we kind of want to get a sense of successes or failures that you guys have had with the free-to-play model. So we'll get into all that. But I want to start with specifically Jamie and Duff, who have been spending a lot of time in Path of Exile, a free-to-play game, of just some of y'all's thoughts on the game, of course, but how it functions within that free-to-play model.
I think it's different than most free-to-play games. Saying that, I've never really played free-to-play games up to this point, but I think about Fortnite a lot, which is a lot of what Fortnite's about is, hey, you're in here for free, now buy a lot of crap. And Path of Exile is not that way. It does not bug you. It doesn't say, hey, we can make you big and strong and we can make you better than everybody else. As a matter of fact, I've not been told one time that, hey, this would really benefit you. All the stuff is there. If you want to, you can do that, but it's not an absolute necessity.
Yeah, I agree,
think it's
man.
Different.
I totally agree. I wasn't expecting that when you pulled me in initially. I was like, oh, man, are you serious? Are you going to get me into an MMO? And it's just massive amounts of microtransactions and a bunch of annoying people running around and having to share instances and all the stuff that a lot of the free-to-play games that I've done in the past kind of really turned me off on. And that wasn't it. With Path of Exile, it's actually very unobtrusive. You don't really even have to interact with the microtransaction system, and you don't really see other players that often, and unless you're in the non-instanced areas, that really that's just mainly where you're in the town, you know, doing your stash and quest hubs and whatnot. But typically when you're running with your friends, you're in instance zones, and it's seamless. It's fun. And as far as Path of Exile goes, from what I've seen, it's just like dizzyingly complex. Like the amount of gear drops, the amount of stats that you have to manage, the amount of this whole skill tree alone is like a you click on that and it looks like you're looking at a map of the universe. There's so many options, you know? So I can't even keep up with just the base amount of things that you need to do in game, let alone think about buying some colorful gear for my guy, or decorating my my hideout, you know, with microtransactions. Like, that's the last thing I'm interested in doing. So I've been very pleasantly surprised, at least with Path of Exile.
So with all that, how do you guys think they're making money? Like, they're obviously doing okay because they're still adding to the game. It's been out for quite a while. Like, what's keeping them going?
I think a lot of what they're doing is because it's not obtrusive. I think people are spending money. I've told you multiple times on the show that they are going to get some of my money. I'm going to get a better stash, and I'm going to do some of that stuff. Because when you get into that, you have all the normal options, better stash, better weapons, that kind of stuff. And because it's been so good, I'm going to give them money, but I just love the fact that I don't have to.
Yeah, I agree. I also think my thought so far on that is, I agree. I'm like, how? I mean, I've been having a blast and have not had to really spend a dime. And I'm thinking part of that, I'm guessing, maybe I'm wrong, maybe other people have other ideas, is that they really hook you early on because it's a lot of fun. You can get together with friends. You get all kinds of cool stuff quickly, and you level really fast. Like, Jamie and I really have only gotten together a few times, and each time we gain like 10 levels just by chilling out, dungeon running for, you know, an hour or two. And now we're already level 40. It didn't really honestly seem like it took that long. So I'm guessing maybe they get you hooked, get you sucked in, get you to the end game. And then that's probably where at some point you get to a point where you're not going any higher in level, getting new stuff. So you have to start buying things to open up areas that you might want to go next, you know, is my thought.
Gotcha.
It seems like we haven't spent a lot of time, but we are three acts in. It's now a 10-act game, and I've spent 65-plus hours. So, I mean, we've spent a fair amount of time in there. I don't know, but I think people are spending money just because they're not being required to.
Sure. I think as much as Fortnite throws stuff at you, I think that's probably true there too. It's just such a different audience that it really surprises me. So, I mean, God bless them. And obviously, Path of Exile on scale is significantly smaller than what Fortnite is as well.
Yeah. I think it may also suck in more OCD type people.
Fair.
You know, because like the folks that want to do it are a lot of times, I think, going to be trying to totally max min their character and want to, try to really explore everything and do everything in the game. And I think it would really cater to that kind of personality type too.
Gotcha. Cool. What about you, Josh? What free to play game experiences do you have, and are they positive or not so much?
Yeah, I've been having to think about it. I generally don't play a lot of free-to-play games, especially these days. I've got so much other, paid, regular-style gaming content to play. I just haven't felt the need to go to many free-to-play titles. That said, I've played a few in the past, and they're sort of split up, I think, into two categories. There's the traditional, completely free-to-play model game, something like Path of Exile. And I played a couple. There's one on Steam called Star Conflict. And that's like a space shooter. And while the game itself was fun to play, it became evident rather quickly that this was definitely a pay-to-win title. The purchases were not just cosmetic. They were actually gameplay and ability boosting. So I think that's a big distinction, whether or not a game is pay to win or not, whether or not I'll find that fun. And then the other category is sort of games which weren't free to play and then they decided to slap free to play on. So that's mainly MMOs. In my experience, it was EVE Online and then something like Star Wars The Old Republic. Both games I played originally when they were full paid subscription games, and then I went back to play again when they released their free-to-play model. And I think in both cases I ended up resubscribing after the trying it free-to-play again, and they got me back in. So that's probably the main free-to-play type games I've played.
See, I did not realize that Eve was now free-to-play, because we talked about Eve years ago, and I said that I wanted to get into it when it was not free-to-play, but I didn't have the time or the extra income. Now it's free-to-play. It's like, man, maybe I actually need to now.
Yeah, it is free to play. There are some limitations they place on the free accounts, which are probably explained on the site. But yeah, I'd recommend checking it out if that's something that has interested you over the years. We could spend an entire show talking just about Eve Online. So,
what about you, Chris? What experiences do you have with free to play?
You know, myself personally, I'm kind of in the same category. Most of the gaming that I've done has always been more of the AAA purchase titles as opposed to free to play games. I'm interested in trying Apex because it kind of looks sort of similar to back in the day when I used to play Counter-Strike and some of the Day of Defeat and Half-Life based. Mod add-ons that were really fun to play at the time, but that was also back when I had enough time to play and get good at those and feel like I wasn't getting my ass handed to me all the time. Now I'm much more like, right now I'm playing Red Dead, and I'm about at 60% of that and just fully enthralled in Red Dead. But my youngest son is into Fortnite big time. So when I'm not on the PS4, he's on the PS4, and he's a battle royale kid, and he does occasionally, he likes the buying the different dance moves and different emotes and things that you can get with his buddies. He's got about 10 buddies from school, and they all play and they have a gas on the thing. Personally, not my type of game. I'm thinking about getting into some Apex and seeing what that's like, but I haven't played Titanfall 2, and I kind of feel like I'd like to play that first just to get used to the shooting mechanics and kind of understand how that world is, and then appreciate maybe Apex a little bit more. But yeah, currently right now I don't play any of them and have never really got into them, and have I finished God of War, and then now Red Dead is a mammoth undertaking, so loving it though, it's awesome. Where are you guys in Red Dead? I know you were playing it, but I know you've said a couple times on the different shows too that it's taking you a while to get time to do it.
It's taking a while to get time to play. We're still in the second act, and so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Which is great. It's still a blast. It's just slow going. Exactly how that game's designed is to be slow going, and so we're incredibly embracing the slow going thing.
Yeah, you can give us an update in 2020, Tommy.
Yes, we'll be in Act 3 or 4 by then for sure. Yeah. So look forward to that.
Super.
I like something that Firestorm said there. Until I stumbled onto Path of Exile, I had no interest or time to play free-to-play games. And what has got me in it and kept me in it is it's Diablo 3, but better. Like, it's what Diablo 3 should have been. And so I'm a whole lot like you guys. Up until now, it hasn't been my thing. And now here's this game, and so I think the key to it is there's a whole lot of crap out there and a whole lot of stuff that you won't play, and then you find that one that sucks you in. Like I was talking the other day, I don't remember the last time that I put 65 hours in anything, but I've got it in this.
Yeah. I also think there's kind of the category of games that are often free to play are also really competitive. And so like, obviously like Fortnite, or I think of like Dota 2 or, whatever.
PUBG, yeah.
PUBG, yeah. PUBG, which isn't free to play technically. I mean, it's free to play, but it costs you money to buy it. But those kind of competitive games that are, so popular with, not me, you know what I'm saying? Like with this other crowd of gamers, that's like this massive chunk of the gaming community right now. Like there's an expectation amongst them, and Apex Legends is a good example of how that's continuing, of those type of games to be free to play. Like that's the economy around those types of games. And it just like, it kind of boggles my mind that that section of the gaming world exists and thrives right now, is doing so incredibly well. And so even outside of strictly battle royale, I played Hearthstone for a while, which is a trading card game, but it's also free to play and it's that same kind of competitive thing. And I love that. I played it on my iPad, but you can play it on PC or whatever. I got into that for a while. That was really fun. That's much more my style of a free to play game, but it's weird that this kind of competitive circuit has launched so many of these really, really popular games that you don't have to pay $60 on. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's like you have to put in some serious, like, I never heard of, like, what's quick scoping, right? And you go into some of these games, and, like, you're dead in seconds, and you have no idea where it came from. And these kids are playing this stuff, like, 10, 12 hours a day, and there's no way that I'm going to have much of a chance in a game like that. So I totally get where you're coming from. And Hearthstone is another game that my two boys like, too, and again, that's probably similar, that's more my speed of something where you can get on and you can feel like, hey, I can actually do something here.
Yes. Yeah. See, I saw something today about a like vehicle battle royale game that just on the surface reminded me of Twisted Metal. I didn't dig any deeper, and so I don't know if that's in any way true, but just on the surface, I went, oh, that might be something I could actually get into a little bit. Maybe not, but that's, yeah, it's not a shooter. Just, I'm so bad at competitive shooters. They're just no fun. And so, yeah, if we can make Battle Royale, like the Tetris Battle Royale thing or whatever, like I'm into the free-to-play model in other than shooter games, it's just shooters that, like you said, like they have techniques that like I've never heard of and I'm never going to figure out. Like I'm never going to put in enough time to be like an expert at these crazy techniques that people do. So, yeah.
And the other thing is the expanding. Just found out when I logged on earlier that Path of Exile, the end of March, is going to be on the PS4.
That's cool.
And so it's about to get as big as the people playing it are now. It's about to get a much larger audience.
That is awesome.
Well, I hope they allow controller support for the PC then. Because
really?
my wrist is dying.
See, when he says that just makes me cringe.
Dude, I'm getting carpal tunnel so bad from that game.
Just click, 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 click.
Click. Yeah, yep. A million times a night.
It is. It's Diablo-esque, so yeah.
If you
play Diablo, you know. I just can't imagine playing a Diablo-style game with a controller. Like, it just, yeah, but. Oh, yeah. Boggles my mind. Fair enough. I'll mention a couple other games really quick. Two, one that I really enjoyed that I think is a different kind of free-to-play model that can be successful, and that's kind of like the little teaser or taste of a game. And so I would throw in the Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit here as kind of the precursor to Life is Strange 2. That is a little experience. It's only, an hour long or whatever it is, but it's free. And that's a different way that developers get that free-to-play content out there to kind of lure you into their connected game or something else. And if you do it well, I'm into that. But the other thing I'll mention, I've been playing a game this weekend that's doing a free-to-play weekend, which is something that happens on Steam with a fairly regular basis. A game we talked about at E3 last year, it's Two Point Hospital. It's the, like, sim hospital reimagining from Sega. They're doing a free-to-play weekend right now, and so I was like, yeah, heck yeah, I saw my wish list, and so I'm going to check it out. And I'm honestly, like, the time I'm going to put into this game over the free-to-play week is probably all the time I want to put into this game. I'm digging it. I'm having a good time, but it's not a game that I'm long for that I'm not going to, you know, play perpetually. And so having this free-to-play weekend with this game has given me a chance to experience it, to have the kind of fun with it I want. And then, like, let's see if they add some stuff to it. It's one of those things, like Jamie feels with Path of Exiles, that, like, I may just throw him a bone to say, hey, I enjoyed your game, even though I played it for free when you had it for this free-to-play weekend. It's just a fun game. And so even if I don't pick it back up, here's, you know, $15 for your game as a kind of thank you, I enjoyed playing it thing. But that's a different model, that this isn't technically a free-to-play game, but they're having it with this free-to-play weekend, and I'm getting to experience the whole thing and have a blast
Is that co-op at all?
No. Yeah, I don't think so. I haven't seen that anywhere in here.
I think that's huge. I mean, it really opens up a huge audience for, for a game that other folks may not normally even say, "Nah, I'm not going to pay any money for that." But
yeah.
And along those lines, there's another game I think you'd like called, that I was just seeing on Steam. I think it's an early access, called Oxygen Not Included. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That looks interesting. That seemed like a game that you'd like, Tommy.
Yes. Yeah, I think it might be on my wish list as well. But I dig when stuff like that comes up for, like, a free-to-play weekend. There was something else that it was fairly recent. Was a game that wasn't even really on my radar, like you said, that I just saw it was free-to-play weekend and fired it up. It was like, oh, this is actually really cool, and I would have never touched this otherwise. It's like the modern demo. It's getting away from how, you know, a demo traditionally works and just saying, here, have at it with the game for, you know, 2 or 3 days and see what you think. And I would imagine that, especially on a platform like Steam, where people just kind of stumble upon stuff, that they're going to get a lot of people that buy the game out this weekend that wouldn't have ever given the game a second thought. And so it seems like a wise way to get some interest going. So, yeah.
Well, what I think is interesting is that I have no business playing a free-to-play game. I have so much stuff to play. I need to finish Life is Strange Before the Storm. I need to play The Adventures of Captain Spirit. I need to do so much stuff. But the reason that I'm spending my weekends on Path of Exile is because I can play with my buddies. Duff and I have spent more time crawling around dungeons, wasting our lives like two idiots playing D&D on the weekend, than we have with anything else. And he said something on one of the videos that we did that is absolutely true. We love solo games, but it's a lot of fun when you can get into something with your buddies for, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours on a weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. So, all that being said about free-to-play games, let me, or any other thoughts before we wrap up on free-to-play?
Go ahead. Sorry, you go. go ahead. Okay. Quickly, I just wanted to say, I agree with you, Josh, that I'm of two minds, the big picture on free-to-play, because I started out early on before all of that, right, before free-to-play, and so it was the big MMOs, and then they slowly, I pumped so much money into, you know, like EverQuest 2 and games like that. And then eventually it went free to play, and it actually ruined the experience for me. At that point, it became more of a pay to win. And there was a lot of, all the microtransactions, which is very annoying. And so that kind of thing, if it turns into a pay to win type game, that's the end of it for me. And I'm worried that that's what's going to happen with Path of Exile at the end game, that in order to really be able to do the stuff that you want to do, you're going to have to start paying. And then the other side of that, though, I I agree with what you're saying, Tommy, in the sense that there are so many games like Path of Exile that I would never even done. I was like, I wouldn't have chosen to play Path of Exile or even known about it if it wasn't free. And turned out I loved it. And same thing. It just opens up the it opens up a world of gaming to me and my friends. It seems like it's really good for multiplayer stuff. So you can easily grab a friend if they're over hanging out and say, hey, I had this free game here, fire it up. Let's just jump in and play around and have fun. And it ended up having some of the best times that I've had in a long time with quite a few of these games free to play, like Guild Wars 2, Hearthstone, like you said, Path of Exile, games like that.
Awesome. Chris, did you have something you wanted to add in?
No, just listening to Duff there, though, that point is almost reminds me of, you know, Shadow of Mordor. When it came out, you pay the money to play a game that's utterly fantastic, and then they release a sequel that goes and introduces that microtransaction type system and kind of spoils the experience by doing something like that. Like, I'd rather pay for a game that's awesome and leaves you alone to enjoy it.
Yeah.
than getting bogged down in their, you know, attempt to just make a cash cow, and then it just kind of ruins the gaming experience. So just kind of popped into my head as he was speaking there.
Yeah, that's fair. Josh, final thoughts on free to play?
Yeah, I think I should probably add, I mean, a lot of the games we've been talking about, you know, primarily AAA-esque titles and primarily PC games as well. I think we should probably, to be fair, also mention what would be considered the prototypical or stereotypical, rather, free-to-play games. And I mean, they're called free-to-play, but at the end of the day, they're not charities that are running these games. So at the end of the day, they're businesses, and they're out to make as much money as possible. And a lot of the games, particularly on mobile, I think can get a little bit exploitative in their model and the way that they target people. Just the other week, it came to my mind. I was at a family gathering, and I was talking to some of my younger cousins. So they're 12 and 9 years old, and we're talking about. And it's great because, you know, they love to play games, and we're talking about gaming. And the current popular game for them and their classmates is a game called Roblox. I haven't played it myself, but I had a quick look up what it is. And it was almost irrelevant what the game is, because what I found interesting was that in my prior discussion...
My niece plays that, and now that you mentioned that, I got a niece that plays it.
Yeah, it seems to be quite popular, but the what caught me was our entire conversation, everything they were talking about, they were focused on this in-game currency they called Robux, and it was all, how do I get Robux, and how my friend managed to get all this extra Robux, and ex-friend has this many, and this friend scammed this many, and it was just, I don't know, I thought that it was odd that there wasn't really much talk about what the actual gameplay was. They were just so primarily focused on obtaining this in-game currency. And I see that there's stories that everyone knows of people that get taken advantage of, and I think it's especially at the risk of sounding get off my lawn, it gets a bit tough when you start to get kids involved, and I think some of the games can be a little bit predatory in that regard. Even something I will say, like Apex Legends, I remember reading an article a couple of weeks ago about a guy that's that said he spent, you know, it was $600 or $700 or something on loot crates, so that he could unlock whatever the top tier of the armor was. And of course, you know, the articles are a bit mocking of the guy, like, you know, hey, you're a grown man, you know, you're an idiot, why'd you spend this much money? And while I don't disagree, the difference I found in Apex Legends is that while they put out the odds of unlocking a certain legendary set of armor or whatever it was, you know, X, you know, it was less than 1% or something per crate you open. The difference I found was that they said, if you open I forget how many it was, let's just say 50 crates, you're guaranteed after 50 crates to get this legendary armor set. And so it changes the psychological component a little bit, because in his head, it's sort of, you know, everyone knows the gambler's fallacy, but in this case, it's sort of confirmed. He's sort of like, well, if the you know, at the end of the day, if I just keep opening one more and one more, eventually I will going to, I am going to get one eventually. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of, it changes the dynamic of how people interact with games when there's this different way of handing over money. So,
yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you brought up both mobile, just as a platform, where free to play obviously is a big deal in lots of different ways that they make that viable. But there is a lot of predatory stuff in this world, and we've talked about loot crates and that kind of stuff in the past. That, yeah, it gets messy. So all that being said, quickly before we wrap up, I'd just love to get a quick couple of words about what everybody's been playing recently. And so I'll come right back to you, Josh. What have you been playing recently?
Yeah, so I made a deal with myself, was that I'm not going to buy any new games until I've at least finished a whole chunk of my backlog. So I've been catching up on some old stuff. Funny thing is, Red Dead is actually included in that. So to make you guys feel better, I mean, I got Red Dead on launch day, and I've just, two nights ago, I got up to chapter 3. So,
very nice.
Yeah, but that's been a lot of fun. Yeah, Red Dead, a lot of Red Dead. And I finished recently Metro Last Light. That's an old one, but that was a lot of fun.
Well, how do you feel about Metro? I gotta ask, how do you feel about Metro? Because they have a new game out.
Yeah.
That yep. is only on the Epic Store, so.
That's a whole other discussion as well. On the game side, like I've had a few friends have played it, and actually I'm quite looking forward to playing the next Metro game. So from a gameplay perspective, I think it looks really good, and it follows. I really enjoyed the first two Metro games, so I'm looking forward to playing the third one. I don't like the way Epic has gone about their game store, but that's a whole other can of worms we can go down if people want.
Just quickly, I'm curious about that.
Oh, about why I feel that way?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I think it's because, you know, they've come out and saying, oh, we want to increase competition because Steam has such a monopoly on the market. And those statements may very well be true. So they've come out and said, we're going to reduce our commission so people can, you know, the developers get more money. It seems that they're not really competing, though, by adding extra features. As from the consumer perspective, we're not getting anything better than Steam. And it's not really completely open. A lot of the games that that developers are putting onto the Epic Store, I think it's required, is that they are exclusive to the Epic Store. So I don't really see how that's competitive if you're basically paying people to exclusively use your platform. That's my main gripe with it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Anybody else want to chime in on that? I've just done relatively little with the Epic Store, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I haven't used it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I haven't used it either. The only thing I posted on the Facebook page about, the fun with the Epic website, trying to get your ID so that you could do full crossplay across the Switch and the PS4, and what a adventure that was. But if anyone wants to check that out, go and look on the Facebook page and have a look.
Good plug. Duff, did you have a thought on the Epic Store?
No, I mean, I think it's good to have competition, but it just bummed me out because I was excited for Metro Exodus to try out ray tracing and all that. That was going to be my first experience with it. And then when they pulled it from Steam, because it was in Steam in my Steam queue, I was like, oh man, that just kind of bummed me out. So, because I like having all my stuff available on Steam if possible.
Sure.
I don't know why, but
he's a Steam snob. I love
it. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm gonna hijack the conversation for just a second. I just thought of a brilliant free to play thing, so I'm gonna back up for just a second. Speaking of having all of your games in one place, maybe think about this because it's a game that I'm now playing that's not in the same place, but. A really successful, to me at least, free-to-play thing that happened was the Google Project Stream with Assassin's Creed Odyssey that I talked about a lot. What I haven't mentioned as an update to that whole thing, so it ended in January that they shut down the thing, said thank you for helping out. I played a good chunk of the game, but I didn't finish it. Several weeks ago, I got an email that they just gave me a copy of it. Like, if you participate in Project Steam, you got a free copy of the game, which you didn't pay for in the first place. And so now I'm now playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey again on my PC through through Uplay, not through Steam. It drives me nuts. That doesn't show up in Steam as well. But awesome that I got that game for free out of playing it on Project Stream. And so I was thrilled about that. I had no idea that they were going to do that. So that was super cool and was free, which ties in. So all that being said, Duff, what else have you been playing?
Just tying in on that a little bit. Actually, I just heard recently from somewhere that Project Stream has a new controller coming out for their service, I think, right?
Yeah, Google does.
And it seems like there was some controversy regarding that. I don't know. I can't remember what the deal was, but
idiots.
So that's interesting to see that moving forward. I'm excited to see how that whole genre of streaming games, how that's going to evolve over the next year or two. But anyway, as far as my games that I've been playing, I'm pretty much, like we talked about before the beginning of the show, fully. I finished Red Dead, which took hours and hours of my life, and I absolutely loved it. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it just gets crazy. I literally about had I almost had to go see a behavioral health specialist towards the end of it. It affected me that much. Like, I was in tears towards the end of the game. That's how much it sucked me in. Because I just invested so much. I got very psychologically invested, like in my horse and just the characters that I was interacting with. I really enjoyed it. But moving on to the next game was God of War. So I had bought the PS4 specifically for Red Dead. So I got the Red Dead edition PS4, and then that allowed me now to kind of start playing some of the games that you guys had told me were awesome. So I've got Spider-Man in queue, and I've got God of War. So that'll probably pretty much finish 2019 for me, is my guess. along with Path of Exile now, and I have another friend here in Hawaii that I've been playing through the Borderlands sequel co-op. He comes over and hangs out with me. That's a lot of fun. And I heard that Borderlands, the next Borderlands release is coming. Borderlands 3 is going to be coming out, I think, is the rumor. So that'll be fun. And then obviously dabbling in VR. I've been playing around doing a lot of little VR experiences with the Apollo 11 anniversary Apollo 10, I guess it was. I mean, anniversary coming up, first folks on the moon.
Yeah.
I did the Apollo 11 VR experience, which is really cool.
That is cool. I enjoyed that one a lot.
They have a new upgraded one. It's in HD now, so the quality is even better. And then there's a Titanic VR in HD, so you get to actually be seeing the Titanic underwater, which is really cool. And some others, two or three other games that I've been enjoying as well.
Very cool. Yep. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so likewise, I resemble a lot of those comments. Red Dead is just keeps, it's a surprising character study. It's so good. I'm in the last, I think I'm in the last mission of chapter 5, so I'm starting to get near the end of the game, and it's just awesome. Love this game so much, and basically, I got some similar. Spider-Man is also my next one queued up. I've already finished God of War, and of course, Horizon Zero Dawn was epic. Loved it. Right now, I was happy to see The Witness come up on PlayStation Plus, so I grabbed that. And like Jamie, I've started playing Life is Strange Before the Storm. So those are the ones that I've kind of got currently in the hopper and thoroughly enjoying. But Red Dead, I find it hard to pull away from. It's that enthralling. It's just amazing. Love it. And it just keeps getting better. Like, it's one of those games that, you know, it started off, like you're talking about it being slow and in chapter two, but man, does it ever get going. It's so good.
Yeah. That's encouraging, as being the ones that are farthest behind on it at this point. But it's, yeah, I'm glad we're all playing it. It's phenomenal. So,
yeah, and one of the other things I was going to say is, anybody here interested in playing Division 2? Because that's something that has kind of popped into my mind that I thought, man, it would sure be fun talking about playing with friends and playing with people that are, you know, associated with this channel. It would be an absolute blast to get on there, Division 2, go out there and do it.
Duff has played Borderlands with me. You don't want to do that. Trust me.
okay, well, you can think on it. You can think on it.
He still has nightmares about that. That's, it's not good.
Jamie, where are you? I need your help. I can't find you, man.
on a semi-related note on the Red Dead thing, has anybody tried Red Dead Online yet?
You know, that is interesting. I haven't actually tried it, but I watched a YouTube video on it the other day, and one guy absolutely ripped it, talking about microtransactions and the feeling of what people are thinking about that experience. And this guy was basically saying stick to the single player and just thoroughly enjoy that before you go into the other, because it's very much in flux right now, to my understanding. They're changing prices on different things, and the whole microtransaction thing, people are complaining about, you know, your pelts that you're bringing in. They're one day you're getting a certain amount of money for it, the next day the value's been cut in half. And I think there's so much going on, and it's changing so quickly. I don't think Rockstar's got it completely figured out how they're doing it yet.
That's fair. And it took them a long time to get Grand Theft Auto Online kind of where it felt good. But they got there and made it really good. I don't know if they'll ever get there with Red Dead, but I'd be interested to see. But I imagine I will take that line of, let's just get through the main game first before we ever start playing around with the online stuff. So hopefully it'll be cool at some point. So, all that being said, thank you guys for being here. As always, thank you guys for your support. It means the world to us, and we're excited to get to do some fun stuff in the next few months.
We got Toe Jam and Earl coming up.
That we got to do. So you'll be seeing that content-wise soon and more. So good times. Good times. Anything anybody wants to throw in before we wrap?
All good.
All good.
Yep.
Awesome, guys. Well, thank you for being here, Jamie. Anything else we need to mention before we get out of here?
We need to mention the fact that at some point we will have another show. We're kind of behind with, like he said, we've been a month late on this, but we love doing this, and we'll have a regular show coming up shortly.
Yeah,
we've got lots of stuff going on over there as well. With we're actually doing some more advertising this week, so
yeah,
we may end up with
weird
a few more listeners. I'm excited about that. Advertising's good. So if you know anybody that's into a gaming podcast, and I'm saying this for everybody that's out there, we are always looking for more people. So if you're new to the show, drop us a line. Let us know what's going on. We're glad you're here. We're glad we hope you enjoy it. And we just do what we do. That's all we can say.
Yeah. On that note, something that we don't say enough and should, and it's a podcast trope, but go rate and review, especially if you've been listening for a while and haven't done that, whatever you listen to this podcast on, Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or not Spotify, because I still don't think we're on Spotify, dang it, but whatever you're listening on, we're on a bunch of different services out there. Rate and review it, it helps other people find the show when those reviews pop up, so we'd appreciate that a ton. And you can go by gamingcensored.com if you're interested in participating in the roundtable or other stuff. You can join the Patreon. Our boy Brigham is now on the Patreon, which is exciting. So welcome to the Patreon crew, Brigham. Yeah, lots of opportunities to get involved.
Wait, can you imagine that dude on this show?
Be a trip, like, man.
Oh, God. We gotta get him on the roundtable.
His segment that's coming that we haven't played yet is on a motorcycle. We're doing a round table with Brigham on a motorcycle. Be a good time. So be a good time. So anyway, all that being said, we are going to wrap up. So thank you guys for being here for another month for the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable. We are out.
Do you hype?
Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.